Karen, you're going to have to sleep with the light on again tonight. Again tonight.
Oh, man.
Yep. Hey, if you enjoy creepy stories, road trips, haunted locations, history, and mysteries, then this is the episode for you.
I'm pretty excited. A little nervous, but pretty excited.
My name is Will.
And I'm Karen.
And unlike Mulder and Scully,
we both want to believe.
So we've embarked on a journey of discovery.
We've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual and metaphysical world.
We've thrown ourselves into weird and wonderful experiences. I even joined a coven of witches.
And wait, you joined a coven?
Yep, all in the interest of finding something.
Anything.
That will prove that there's something beyond this physical,
three-dimensional world we all live in.
This is the Skeptic Metaphysicians.
Yes.
We met a fan.
I know.
We met two fans.
We have two fans.
Actually, three when you count in Tony.
And my mom is four.
Oh, well, I guess my mom counts as five then.
Well, that's true.
Well, we got a lot of fans.
Woohoo!
But we actually met three fans that aren't related to us at this weekend's expo.
And no offense, moms, but it counts more because they're not related to us.
I'm so sorry, but you are absolutely right. Anyway, Karen,
yes.
Tony, and Chris,
wrong Karen.
They're the three fans that we met at the Holistic Expo this weekend, and we were so thrilled to have met you. Thank you so much for coming out and saying hello to us.
You made the whole thing worthwhile.
Absolutely. And on top of that, Karen and Tony actually came and watched us talk.
I know.
It's very nice of them.
It was very nice of them.
Too nice of them, I think. I feel like we kind of owe them something now.
Maybe we should pay them.
Let's not get crazy.
Okay.
We don't get paid, so.
That's true.
I mean, what were your thoughts of the expo overall?
Oh, it was fun. We met so many great people.
Lots
and saw
of people.
Some really cool stuff.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing that you saw?
I liked the singing bowls.
Me too.
And
I
had
those.
My eyes photographed.
Oh, the Argenics thing, right?
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a future episode where they photograph your eye and they saw your ancestors in your eye. Is that right? And gave you personality traits and stuff?
They saw all kinds of things in my eye.
They're like ghosts or something that's stuck in your eye. That's a little weird.
It is a little weird.
But so cool at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What else did you like?
Gosh. Well, I loved all the jewelry. So, of course, I came home laden with jewelry. But enough about me. What did you like?
Oh, I like the singing bowls also. I kept going to that poor man's table and monopolizing his bowls all the time.
You're a bowl hog.
I was a bowl hog. I just love them. Each one is a different frequency that touches a different chakra, and I apparently needed all the chakras.
Well, it was cool because at first I couldn't get him to sing, but then he showed me, and it was the exact opposite of what I was doing, and actually I'm pretty good at it now.
Yeah. You're really good at it. I just hope that the poor man actually made some sales because he was just standing there by himself most of the time when I went past by.
No, I saw him. He was making some sales.
Was he?
He was.
Oh, thank God. That's good. That's good. I really wanted to get a bowl, but nah, it wasn't meant to be, I guess.
Not this time.
Yeah. And then sentient jewelry, is it? Sentient metaphysical jewelry who was there? Carmen. She was unbelievably nice. You know, remember how nervous
so
I was?
So nice.
I was so nervous for a talk that she gave me a hematite bracelet.
You got jealous of the one I bought.
I was very jealous. So I went to her and say, hey, do you have any loose hematite stones? Because they're supposedly, they help ground you.
Yeah.
Right. I needed some grounding before we had our talk. So she gave me a hematite bracelet to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
Did the talks. It did great. It grounded me wonderfully. Came back, tried to return it, and then she refused.
I know.
I even tried buying it from her. I tried to give her money for it, and she wouldn't have it.
Wow.
So,
now I'm jealous.
So many great, great people that we met at this expo. We want to give a huge thanks and shout out to Terry Bowden, who put on the show.
Oh my gosh, Terry, we love you so much.
You did such an amazing job with the show, and we are really looking forward to the next one. So if you didn't get a chance to come out to this one, hopefully you'll be able to make it to the one in March.
Yep, you don't want to miss it.
No, you don't. You know what people don't want to miss also?
What?
This next interview.
Oh, yes. Let's get to it.
Okay. Welcome back to the Skeptic Metaphysicians. I'm Will.
And I'm Karen.
And we are the hosts for this particular journey of discovery. Today, we're joined by psychic sisters, Jennifer and Jill, who are here to talk to us about their adventures into uncovering extraordinary stories in ordinary places. It sounds pretty interesting, doesn't it?
Very interesting.
Well, they come from a long line of women with mystical abilities, and one of them is a tarot reader and an intuitive, and the other works as a psychic medium, energy reader, and intuitive life coach. They're the creators and co-hosts of the Common Mystics podcast, where they share their adventures exploring spiritually charged locations and giving voice to the spirits who haunt them.
Ooh.
Give a warm welcome to Jennifer James and Jill Stanley to the show. Guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us.
We've touched on these things a little bit before. We have never had psychic sisters on the show. That's exciting.
So we're glad to be your first.
Yes. Not only are you in the spiritual world with different talents that you have, but you also explore really haunted places and have a podcast about it. So what brought you to creating this podcast, first and foremost?
Well, first I want to say we don't look for specific haunted places. We look for the spirits. We open ourselves up to spirits to guide us to a verifiable story that was unknown to us that gives voice to the voiceless. And the reason why I'm correcting you is only because I'm very afraid of ghosts. Really, I am. So
well, that makes me this.
The people that are communicating with us are of the light and people that have crossed over. And so we're asking them if something needs to be revisited, if they're from their lifetime that they want to bring justice to, like, let us know, give us directions to where that is. And then we in the field will take notes on what we're experiencing, do the research to verify those psychic hits we were getting. So it's a little different because I'm really afraid of ghosts.
Right. So, no, it's very different, but it's exciting. It's super interesting, a very different take. And I did a little bit of research into you guys and I looked at your website and it looks like you guys have an interactive map on your site that shows where all the different locations you've been to and things like that.
We do. It actually needs to be updated, but we do. Yeah.
Jennifer's our tech person, so we were just talking about, like, that needs to be updated.
Well, it's cool because then people who listen to your podcast, who are in that area, and they're mostly kind of the North Midwest area, from what I saw. I saw one in Tennessee also, but they can actually go and visit these sites for themselves. Is that right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They could. So I'm from the Chicagoland area. Jill and I both grew up in Chicagoland. And Jill is in Michigan in the Battle Creek area. So when we started doing this about 2 years ago for the podcast, we started at home, right? And so we just started exploring the Midwest. So you'll find that a lot of our stories are from Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, you know, and then we've taken extended road trips a little farther out. We've gone to
basically our
Kansas.
Siblings' houses.
Right. Yeah. Because we have a sister who lives in Tennessee. So we've driven to Nashville and back. We have a sister who lives in New York State. We've, you know, driven there and back. So we went to a family wedding in Utah. So we took the opportunity to do some investigating there. So really it's, we choose our locations partially by convenience. But, you know, the longer we do it, the more we want to get out and explore more parts of the country.
Right.
What I want to know is what made you get interested in this? Was there a specific event for each of you that just kind of drew you into this?
You know, honestly, Jen and I have been doing this for fun forever. That, like, we would take our mom, we would go out and use our spidey senses in, like, cemeteries around the Chicagoland area. And we would bounce off of each other what we were experiencing. And then there was one specific day during the lockdown that I was in by Jen's house in Chicagoland, and we came upon a creepy little town of Seneca, Illinois. And the place, every corner seemed like we were being drawn for different reasons. And we ended up...
people from Seneca.
We love creepy little towns. They are our jam.
That's the best. We love creepy little towns.
When a town feels like it has its own personality, I'm like, we're here. This is where we need to be.
Yeah, it sounds like so much fun. I mean, you started that statement by saying, we've done this for fun forever.
Yeah. But, yeah.
How is that? You said you're afraid of ghosts. How is that fun?
It's the same reason why it's fun to watch a scary movie, right? It's really a way of connecting with not only my sister, but my mom and us and our mother went with us. It's just a way to exercise our skills. Like some people have psychic abilities where they use professionally the same way like Lady Gaga uses her voice professionally. We're not all Gagas, you know, maybe we're singing in the shower. It's just a way to do it and to have fun and to amuse ourselves.
But I think you have to understand the way we grew up. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that we come from a long line of women with mystical abilities. Well, our grandmother had a hand in raising us, and she would not have called herself a psychic medium, but that's what she was. She was devoutly Catholic, but she also talked to dead people. So you would be sitting in grandma's kitchen with her, and she would get up, go into her bedroom and start praying because a dead person literally walked in and said, I need prayers. And so she'd go and pray. Our mother was an astrologist. She also did runes. She did other sorts of divination. She did spells. Grandma did earth magic and spells. Our aunt did tarot. So we just grew up around all of this. There are always psychics coming to the house giving readings. They became family friends. I mean, this was just the environment that we grew up in. And it was nurtured. In most households, that sort of stuff isn't nurtured. Again, we didn't have the vocabulary for it. You know, looking back, now we're saying, oh, grandma was a psychic medium. Grandma never would have called it that, you know, but that's just kind of the environment that we were raised in.
Now, getting back a little bit to the show, because it's really interesting to me, just to clarify, you hear about a story in a certain place, and then you go to try to go, then how do you pick the locations?
We don't. We get in the car and we literally set the intention. Jen, what's our intention?
We ask our spirit guides or the spirits to lead us to a story previously unknown to us that gives voice to the voiceless.
And that's verifiable.
That's verifiable. Thank you. And then we just drive and go where the spirits lead us. We never know where we're going to end up. So and I think go ahead.
When we're there, we are just getting snapshots of what the story is in based on our notes, right? So even when we're in a location that turns out to be cool AF, we can't enjoy it because we're trying to piece it together and figure it out. We don't have the research yet.
Right.
You just go. It's like a psychic Randonautica, for example, right? You just go, you set your intention, and you show up at a place, and then from there you get the story, and then you go back and you verify it.
We research our hits.
It's not always that clean. It's not always that clean. I'll be completely honest.
Just go with it, Jennifer. Go with it.
There's a lot of skeptic. Sometimes when we get really good stories or she gets a good hit, I'm like, yeah, we have a podcast. This is what we do. Honestly. Like it works.
There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of fast food eating in the car. We're getting layers of information. So we set the intention and we're asking spirit to come through, right? But they're leading us to a location, but they're also giving us a story. But there's also other energies coming through.
There are different types of messages too. We can identify there are breadcrumbs that they're leaving us. So a great one in our Ashtabula episode, which I love, is that I kept having like this Elvis connection in my head. I didn't know what that meant. And Jennifer described a man in a straw hat with overalls on. Well, we go into this little town and there was Graceland Church, and who I'm assuming works in the church is wearing overalls with a straw hat working in like the lawn. So we're like, we're in the right place. Like that was not our story, but it was we're in the right place.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So you just kind of psychically just go somewhere. That's impressive. I mean, that's the opposite of what you usually hear. You usually hear about a place that has got this haunted, and you go and then you can verify it. But you go the opposite. That's super interesting.
They're not putting creepy little town into Waze.
They should have something like that, though. Honestly,
they probably do. Right? Someone.
Yeah, they probably do. Yeah. So then what are some of your favorite stories, some of their favorite haunted places that you kind of stumble on?
Jen, you go Jill, first.
Well, I want to talk about our first one because it really set the tone for the entire podcast.
That's true.
The first time. And Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the first story that we went and intentionally set upon for the podcast was in Michigan. And we ended up in a little town called Nashville, Michigan. And Jill specifically asked the spirits to take us to a haunted house. We just asked for a story. We wanted a story. And the way it works is Jill is always the driver. And because she kind of has a control.
I'm a very good driver.
She is a very good driver. She's a very aggressive driver. Anyway,
I'll get you there.
So, and I'm the navigator and the note taker. So I sit in the passenger seat, and when we're getting stuff, I'm writing it down. I'm writing down every impression that we get, and I'm also part of the navigation process. So we, you know, turn right, turn left. I'm feeling left. I'm feeling right. So we get to this little town of Nashville, and we get to the library, which happened to be the home of this family called the Putnams. So it was a historic home that we found out after going to the library was a haunted, purportedly. Like, the locals consider it to be a haunted location. We didn't know that. So we essentially ended up at a haunted house. Well, we did the research, and as it turns out, the Putnam family had a maid, her name was Gertrude, who died under mysterious circumstances. And there was a cover-up that occurred after her death. And we found out through our research that there's a really good chance that she was having a relationship with one of the family members. So that inspired us to give voice to the voiceless, because we felt so honored to be able to tell Gertrude's story. She was a 16-year-old who was shot. And it just gave us such, you know, we were just so grateful to tell her story that from then on, she was like our patron spirit. And she,
it completed
from then
our mission.
On, we asked her.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is about it is that Jennifer and I are very competitive. We are. So we get really cool hits that are verifiable in the field. And we're like, that's so cool. We're putting that in the pod. And then we have to stop ourselves and be like, it's not about us. It's about who we're giving voice to. So by having that focus has really not only helped our personal relationships, but really streamlined the focus of the podcast. So we thank Gertie for that.
Do you go out there with a recorder and you actually record stuff there? Or do you have the experience and come back and record an episode about it after the fact?
So I've used my cell phone in the field. We have GoPros that are kind of a pain in the butt, to be honest with you. So if, you know, for like Facebook and our Instagram account, I'll like take a snapshot about what I'm feeling. I'll do a video and post it. But again, we don't have any of the verifiable information until we come back and do the research.
That makes sense. Yeah.
The research itself is also intuitive.
Mm-hmm. You can go down a lot of rabbit holes.
Yes, it really is. We could never just have a team doing the research for us, because that really is part of the process. I'll give you an example. You know, going through your notes and you're doing the research and you're trying to figure out who is the voiceless and what is the story here, right? And I was sitting at my computer and I kept getting into my head, go downstairs and get your Civil War book. I never use books for research. Everything's online, but it kept coming into my head. Go downstairs and look in your Civil War book. Well, we had just been to Shelbyville, Tennessee. I go downstairs. I take my Civil War book. I go to the index. I look up Shelbyville. The one story that was our story. It was about Pauline Cushman, who lived in Shelbyville during the Civil War. And that was the answer. She was the voiceless. And so that's an example of how you get information while you're doing the research that will lead you in a certain direction and tell you what you're supposed to be talking about.
Hmm. Have you ever gotten like the feeling of don't tell this story? Like someone doesn't want you to tell a story that you're onto, like any sort of negative thing like that?
Jen?
Jill? No, you do.
I'm not saying it.
You're not allowed to tell the story.
There's two parts to that. First, there are stories like when we were in Shelbyville, we had two stories from that location, Shelbyville, Tennessee. There was, we were being inspired to tell a story about Confederate soldiers. And we are not a political podcast. So that was very uncomfortable. But we believe, made a deal with these spirits that you lead us here, you give us a verifiable story, and you need a voice, we'll do it. So we had to stop and say, okay, I don't want to talk about Confederate soldiers and giving them a voice, but we had to honor that compact, that contract mm-hmm. with the spirits. And then there's a different kind of, I don't want to tell this story. Jennifer and I were in Rome City, Hillsdale? Indiana, which is maybe 60 miles south of my house. And we were on this location with this huge, beautiful building, and it was just exuding like energy, like uncomfortable energy. Like I kept using the word foreboding, and that's not how I talk. Like that's not, I'm not like pulling out these large words. I was just like, this is scary. And on our way home, we get back to my house and we were going to record an episode that we had done the research for. And Jen and I were arguing with each other, but in this bizarre way. It was like we were agreeing, but we were doing it with disdain. I was like, I am. Yes. Okay. And then it almost felt like I was angry. And so in how I deal with like anxiety, I always try to find the origin of the thought. Like, why am I feeling this way? How come I'm angry at her? Like we're agreeing, we're on the same page, but I just want to smack her. And I realized something's messing with us. And so I looked at her, I'm like, Jen, something is messing with us. So, and then what happened, Jennifer?
So as soon as we recognized that it wasn't us, like it wasn't our emotions that we were feeling, it was something from outside, that completely broke the spell and the whole energy in the room changed. And so we started talking to it and we said, we are doing this. We are talking about this story. We're going to record it. And then after we had finished, we got up to get some wine because it was a little, you know, nerve wracking.
Yeah.
We're professionals. We waited.
I wouldn't have waited.
Me either.
Jill walked into the kitchen, and as I was leaving the room, I had to stop and hold on to the door frame because I was feeling like I was going to fall. Like there was someone karate chopping the backs of my knees. Like I could feel the sensation of my knees wanting to give out. So I held onto the door frame. And when it stopped, I don't know, maybe a minute. Felt like a long time. Instead of leaving the room, I turn around and I go to Jill, who's standing at the kitchen counter. And I said, you're not going to believe this, but I think something was just trying to bring me down. And Jill said, I feel someone trying to knock
knees
me.
Feel weak.
Exactly. Trying to knock her knees down too. So
well, I was in the kitchen and I just felt weak in the knees. So I was holding onto the counter and I didn't see her. She was going upstairs to the powder room upstairs, basically. So we were independent in different areas of the house.
So we do feel like that was sort of, I don't want to say spiritual attack because it was kind of mild, but it was definitely something that didn't want us prying into some information for sure.
Ooh, that's creepy.
It made clear that we needed to do better cleansing and grounding exercises after leaving a place.
Cord cutting. Oh yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Wow.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more amazing conversation on the Skeptic Metaphysicians.
And now back to the Skeptic Metaphysicians. Now, we mentioned Randonautica a little earlier. 9 times out of 10, we tried it, and it's led us nowhere. Now, we're not psychic or anything like that. We can't imbue that kind of energy into a phone app. But how often do you get hits that don't work out?
You know, honestly, there's only been one time that I would say was kind of a bust. And it was after Jennifer had broken her foot and needed surgery. And I had visited her and she was still in a walking cast. And we went to downtown Chicago and there was just so much going on. And it was just like, I mean, could we have tried a little bit harder? It was just so much. When you're in a place like Chicago, there's so many things coming at you that we're like, yeah, that was kind of a wah, wah.
Well, I just gave up on it. I think what we found is we can sort through the psychic energy much better when we're not in a major metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. So we don't seek out major cities. There's just too much energy to sort it out. But to your question about like the hits, you know, I had this conversation because I am a skeptic, and I had this conversation with Jill early on, like, how do we know if it's a hit or if it's not a hit? Like, when we're getting information in the car, how do we know if it's a hit? And Jill said to me, they're all hits. The question is, what is our story? Right? So if you believe that you're psychic and you believe that you're able to get information, you just have to go with it. Do you know what I mean? And then later, or even in the moment, figure out, okay, what am I going to pay attention to? What is leading us, and what's just background noise that I'm picking up on? Does that make sense?
That wouldn't work for me and Will. We'd get in the car and we'd start driving, and we'd probably still be driving 3 weeks later, still driving.
But we'd stop to get road snacks.
Well, that's true. We'd have road snacks.
Oh yeah. That's a must. Yeah.
Before we leave, we have the snacks and we're like going down the street. Well,
that's right. A mile down, we're already finished road snacks. We got to go find another place to find more road snacks. But so just to get it clear in my head, you go to this place, you feel what you're feeling, then you go to the library and try to research where you were just at.
So we get into the car. We like literally start from either our hotel or one of our homes, and we get in the car, and I'm usually driving, and Jen sets the intention, and then the communication goes, I'm being pulled this way. And then along the way, you'll start to see, like I said, breadcrumbs, right? Breadcrumbs. So like Graceland Church, and you're like, okay, so we know we're in the right direction. Another time, Jen and I were driving. We thought we were going to Ohio, but she kept hearing in her clairaudient mind, purple petunia, purple petunia. And on our way to Ohio, we were going down a Michigan route, and that route kind of went into a main street area, and there were purple petunias hanging and every light pole. So we're like, so that to us, that was a breadcrumb. So we stopped. And then I saw a sign that said Mrs. Stocks Park. And I was like, we're going to the park. And it turned out that's where our story was. So it's kind of like you get the feeling of being led in a certain direction, but you have to be open. You can't have a conclusion, right? We weren't looking for a haunted house. We weren't looking for a haunted park. We were looking for where is the story and who needs the voice.
But then how do you research it afterwards? You come home, you've experienced these locations and these feelings. Then how do you research it to verify what you've just experienced?
Ancestry.com, newspapers.com. In the Stocks Park scenario, I called historians in the area. I called the local college. So anything, I'm really aggressive by nature. So not like if I'm trying to find something, I will get it. And if I don't, there's a reason why I can't get to it, right? And it turns out in Hillsdale, Michigan, that was exactly right. This family, this very important family that still has some clout today, even though they're all dead and gone, had used prison labor to build their fortune. And there was the books written about how wonderful this family is. The historians in the town wouldn't talk to me. And they have this narrative about these people that they were great people. So much so that in a history book, there is an excerpt that was not favorable in describing Mrs. Stock, right? And so when they scanned the image into Ancestry, they left that part out. And it was only from a Google snapshot that I was able to find like the real tea on this woman and how the family was seen in their time when they were living there. So that in itself was like these prisoners, because I also looked up the prisoners and they weren't guilty of anything. I didn't find a criminal record. It was just people that they were rounding up, people with lesser means to work in their factory, to work in their mill. Jeez.
So you really love research papers when you go in school, didn't you?
No, I was a terrible student, but I love history.
Because I can't even imagine sitting down and trying to figure out all this stuff. That takes an incredible amount of effort. So I applaud you for it, because I don't know if I could have done that.
The moment you are researching, you feel like, oh my God, like this is it. It's such a light. Mm-hmm. Like the lights just turn on in your head and you're like, oh my God. And then whatever Jennifer's doing, and we have full-time jobs. Like I'm a recycling broker. Jennifer is an administrator in a school district. Like I will find her and be like, I found her story. It's just such a good feeling.
And once you find that story, you kind of get into it. Like the first story you told us about the young girl that was shot. So you find this information by doing your research, but do you ever get any more messages? Because you're talking about sharing their story. Like, was there anything else about her that people wouldn't really know that you were able to get out?
Well, not so much about Gertie, but yes, that happens a lot. I'll give you another story that we had just recently. We were out west in Kansas, South Dakota, Nebraska, in that area. Mm-hmm. And this was a situation where a spirit was actually communicating with me while we were in the car. That doesn't always happen. So I was having a true mediumship experience where a spirit was giving me information. And the spirit was telling me he felt like I felt slave energy, enslaved, but he kept telling me, I'm important. I'm important. And then I kept getting like images in my head and different information. And so I just wrote it down, everything he was telling me. Well, he turned out to be James Beckwith. Now, he was a very colorful figure from American history that almost nobody knows about. He was from the 1800s, and he just came on so strongly. We did an episode about him, right?
She literally was flirting with him in spirit. It was embarrassing. I was like, stop playing with your hair. We need to focus. Like, get his number. You'll chat later. Let's do this.
He was really charismatic. But here's the thing. The thing about James Beckwith from our research is that during his life, he was known to tell tall tales about himself and over-exaggerate his own feats, right? So we learned this about him. We did our episode. We felt pretty good about it. But during the course of the next year, we were both getting visited by another spirit connected to Lewis and Clark. I know it sounds weird, but another spirit connecting with Lewis and Clark, like she and I would be talking and one of us would say, we have to do our story on Lewis and Clark. Okay.
There's that's a story. Weird. Yep. Like,
mm-hmm. Yes. So as it turns out, and one of the things that I was confused about is when I was asking James Beckwith, are you enslaved? Are you a slave? He kept telling me that no, he was important. But there was a connection to Lewis and Clark that we were feeling in the car. Well, as it turns out, there was an enslaved man who was with Lewis and Clark, and his name was York. And it was York's energy that stayed with us an entire year, because what we found is when we did the research on York, there are references to James Beckwith. And some historians believe that when he was alive, he took credit for feats that York actually did in his life, right? Wow. So it came full circle, because that's exactly what James Beckwith was doing when we were in the car. He was taking credit for things that York had done years before him. So it was just like this wow moment. And that actually was the inspiration for More Voices in the Road, the series that we did of other spirits who just kept hanging around. Like, we got a story, but maybe we didn't get it all, or maybe we didn't get it right, because these spirits just wouldn't leave us alone. And York was one of those spirits.
Now, apart from the famous Mr. Beckwith that you were flirting with, you've met certain other people of note, right? You actually, I saw on your website that you actually met Kim Russo from a very famous psychic medium from Ghost Stories, right? Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Jill, you got to take this one. Jennifer and I love Kim Russo. We would watch her show, The Haunting Of, before the Celebrity Ghost Stories. And I had bought tickets to see her at a casino in Detroit for my friend and I. And for whatever reason, my friend couldn't go. And I was telling my mom, I was talking smack about my friend. I was like, can you believe her? I did all this. Like, and my mom was like, well, take Jennifer. And I was like, okay, I'll take Jennifer. And so we were at our house. We were at my house. And so Jennifer and I were sitting on the couch the Saturday before the Sunday event. And we were like, oh my God, we're going to be in the same room with Kim Russo. What would you ask her? And we had like this list of things, if we were able to talk to her, what we would ask. So,
well, hold on. Just want to say, we weren't signed up for a private meeting with her. We were going to like an auditorium setting where she was going to like walk through the audience, right? So there was no guarantee that we would even talk with her.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Go ahead, Jay.
If you watch her show, you'll know that she often has stones with her for metaphysical purposes, right? So she'll have some kind of grounding stone or protection stone. So we're driving to Detroit and Jen goes, oh, you should have got her a stone. And I was like, oh my God, I should have. I don't, it's too late. So we're like, wah, wah. We get to the casino. We're sitting like maybe four rows back in the middle, right? So we're not at the ends. We're in the middle of an aisle, front and center, four rows back. And she starts talking and she comes out and she's like, this isn't scripted. Whatever spirit is inspiring me to say is what I'm going to say. And she starts saying almost verbatim, answering a question that Jennifer had on the couch the night before. So my ear is like, and I'm looking at Jennifer. I'm like, oh my God. And then she starts saying something else about animals and spirit. And Jennifer and I were talking about our pet Kindle that had passed away. And so she's coming down the stage and she's getting pretty significant hits. And I am sold. Like I am 100% because she's like, if something resonates with you, stand up. So I'm like trying to get up. Like every other word she's saying, and Jennifer's holding me down. And I'm like, this is us. This is us. So finally, I'm able to like shake Jennifer off of me, and I stand up. I'm like, you're talking about us. And someone else stood up in the auditorium. And so Kim Russo was like, okay, no fighting. Whoever has the stones in their wallet. And I was like, oh my God, I had a rainbow opal in my wallet. And I like opened up, like there's this camera that shows you on a big screen and you just see my shaky hand go into my purse and pull out the stone. It looked like something out of King Arthur. And Jennifer's completely embarrassed because I'm like, oh my God. And then she was like, okay, now your party stand up with you. And she would not. So I had to like pull her up. I'm like, Jennifer, talk. And the first thing she said to me is that you're a medium. And again, we grew up in this arena, but we never had words for it. So one of my questions were on the couch the night before was, do you think she'd think I'm a medium? Like that was my question because she tells people on her show that. So for her to say that to me, first off, I was like, oh my God. So, and then she answered questions about our father that we had because we hadn't seen our dad since 1989. She gave us evidentiary information about our grandmother. Jennifer was crying. It was a whole thing. And it was awesome. Then there was a meeting group where you stand in line and you get to like shake her hand. We were so excited that her security like almost tackled us and she had to wave them off because we were like, oh my God, we love you so much. And she was like, oh, my sister. She was like, it's okay, boys. We were like this close to being tackled.
Wow. Now, sure. I've subscribed to your show and I have not yet had a chance to listen to very many of them, but this dynamic that you guys have, it is delightful. It's so much fun to listen to
really
just as we're
is.
Here. So,
thank you.
Is this the kind of thing that someone can expect when they tune into your show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We probably leave in a lot more than we should. You know, at first I do the editing. Okay. At first I was trying to make it all super professional. And then at some point we just decided to just be real. And so what you get is really us just being ridiculous and just really having these conversations about this stuff. So
That's perfect.
Yeah. It's just so much. I'm having so much fun just talking to you here. I can't even imagine. I'm really looking forward to listening to more of the episodes of the show.
You know, what's funny is that our family don't find this as amusing as strangers. like my husband's like, all you're going to do is get on the phone and yell with your sister. And I'm like, he's not wrong.
That's usually the way it goes, right? Yeah. Our family is usually the ones that are not the biggest fans
like,
of it.
Oh, that's nice.
It's like inside voices. I'm like, sorry.
Gosh. Well, if someone wanted to listen to your show or reach out to you all, what's the best way to reach out to you?
So we have a website, commonmystics.net. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Common Mystics Pod. We're on YouTube, and you can listen in to wherever you're listening to your favorite podcast. But if you happen to be on Apple, that seems to be the big one. So Common Mystics Podcast.
We'll make sure to add those links directly onto our show notes. So if you're interested in reaching out to them or listening to their podcast, you can just go to skepticmetaphysician.com, go to their episode page, and you'll see those direct links right there. Makes it super easy to access. Jill, Jennifer, it has been such a pleasure talking to you that I'm really sad that it's over. I'm hoping that we'll stay in touch.
You're going to come on our show. Both of you are going to be on our show.
Well, then we've got another opportunity to talk. That's perfect.
Yeah, we're excited. We're going to email you dates.
Okay. What were you excited about, Karen?
No, I'm excited that I don't have to sleep with the lights on because this was not scary.
It was not scary. It was not at all what I expected. It was fun. Right. We'll get the scary one later.
Great.
Well, no, seriously, if you are a fan of history or a fan of ghost stories or a fan of psychic stuff or just fun.
Fan of fun.
Fun podcasts, fun shows. Definitely tune into Common Mystics. They are so much fun. If you've not seen that or felt that from this show, then I don't know that you have a pulse. So,
thanks
so much for coming on the show, guys. Really appreciate you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having us. You guys are wonderful. It feels like we know you.
Yeah.
We would totally hang out.
It's so natural.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we actually do need to hang out more. So we'll get in touch for sure.
Ooh, awesome.
Hey, and thanks to you for coming along on this journey of discovery. We'd really love it if you do us the honor of helping us get the show into the hands of those that would benefit from it. If you know of anyone that you think would enjoy our conversations, please share the show with them. And if you're listening to this on the radio and missed anything, not to worry. All of our shows, including this one, can be found at skepticmetaphysician.com. We can also watch the videos or even send us email or voicemails directly from the site. We absolutely love feedback and would appreciate hearing from you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have. That's all for now. We'll see you on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysicians. Until then, take care.